All right. If you have your Bibles with you, or if they are located in your phones, please take them out. Okay, before I begin, I do have to prime you. I preached this sermon to my wife 2 days ago, and she was very depressed after the sermon. So she said it was too heavy. It's not going to be any lighter, because that's how the truth is like, so too bad. But just so you know, prepare yourself. We will see Jesus at the end of the day, okay? So turn to Hebrews 4, verse 11 to 16. Hebrews 4, verse 11 to 16. You can read along with me, or you can meditate on the words as I speak them. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts here be pleasing in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, welcome everybody to the third week of 2019. Haha, I know some of you are already looking forward to Chinese New Year, a few weeks from now, where all of us can exercise our once-in-a-year license to eat bak kwa. Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Oh, Lim Chin Kuan, here I come. Right. But, aside from that, has anyone here made any New Year's resolution? Any New Year's resolution? No? Wow, people really don't make these New Year's resolutions anymore. Well, I did. And from time to time, I always ask myself, Andrew, how far are you along those New Year's resolutions? Have you been successful at keeping any of them? And then, of course, more concrete questions like, how much weight have you lost? Are you going to the gym? Are you working harder and studying harder, putting more effort into ministry this year? Sudden accountability can feel uneasy. Maybe that's why you'll never put up your hands. Or maybe you say to yourself, you know, Chinese New Year is coming, Bak Kwa is coming, pineapple tarts are coming. If I start now, sure fail. Fail so fast. So, until after Chinese New Year lah. Right. Then after Vesak Day, after Deepavali. I know this line of reasoning very well. I've practiced it quite a lot. In the passage we have read today, however, the author of Hebrews is not talking to his community about New Year's resolutions, as it were. He's talking to them about eternal commitments. The author encourages, likely the Jewish church in Rome, to try their hardest, to be diligent, to enter into the rest of God. He is not so concerned with what they are individually committed to, but he's concerned with all of their collective, every one of their eternal resolutions. Not to themselves, but to God. The author warns them that the word of God will require much from them, especially in the coming time, or from us in the coming year. Disobedience is likely to cost us probably much more than missing out on a couple of slices of bak kwa or a couple of pineapple tarts. In this new year, what is your resolution to follow the word of God? Are you diligently seeking to enter into God's rest? By the way, let me clarify, this rest is not like lepak lepak, you know, shake your legs and lie down and have a rest. What this rest actually is the true promise of God to each of us, each of His children, that we shall attain perfect peace and communion with our Lord and with each other. We'll be in right relationship with each other. We'll attain the blessings, the promises, the shalom of God. Right? We always say Shabbat shalom. It is the Shabbat. Rest, God's rest is Shabbat. Beautiful, a beautiful celebration of His power and grace in our lives. It is often what we call walking victoriously with God or victorious living. Now, who here wants to enter that rest this year? Oh, yes, everyone should. This is the time where you say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Right? Oh, the fire in your bones. Everybody wants to enter that rest. Oh, I can feel it. It's like, take me to the promised land. Right? But before I give an altar call so that we can all come forward and be blessed and enter the rest of God, I'm obligated to inform you of the terms and conditions of this agreement. The devil, as we all know, is in the details. Saying yes to earnestly pursue God's righteousness, obey the word of God this year, and enter His rest, His victory, there are two conditions we must fulfill. One, we must obey the word of God in both faith and works. So two, there's one part A and part B. It's tricky. And then, the second condition is that we must be judged righteous by this very same word of God. As we spent quite most of last year and hearing, and if you've tuned into Pastor Dan's Deuteronomy series, you know that obedience and judgment go hand in hand. Right? Without either, God has no reason and no, as it were, no way to bless us. So, to enter into God's rest, that's ultimate victory, we must first obey the word of God in both faith and works. In verse 11, of course, we hear that we should diligently enter into that rest, right? And not fall according to the same example of disobedience. Okay, that sounds... I read also, I'm like, what is this talking about, right? So to cut that long theological debate short, what it simply means that you must is that you must obey the word of God, the law of God, writ large, and you must obey the spirit behind that. Okay, you must, through faith, also obey. So let's, for example, say that one of the Ten Commandments is, you shall not murder, right? So if you don't kill no one, that's your work, right? If you feel like killing somebody, that's not so good, right? If you don't steal from somebody, that's your work, good job. But if you feel like stealing from somebody, problematic. So you must not only not do or do those things, so you must fulfill the work section, but you must also fulfill the faith section. Not just the form, but the spirit of the law. So, that brings me to our much-mentioned topic, our favorite family subject of tithing. Ah, I love this. Right. Unlike most of you, however, I find tithing to be quite a test of faith every month. Lord have mercy. I've planned financially for my future and my family's future. My wife and I, we're both in ministry, and we don't have any illusions, right? No Mercedes Benz, no fancy trips in our future. But we are saving up towards a few things. We are saving up, one, to buy our own HDB flat. Two, to plan for a family in the future. Oh, Lord. And three, to cultivate a lifestyle of giving towards worthy causes. So, as some of us here can attest to as well, some months our expenses go up, there are some emergency things to cover, we get sick, whatever. And at the end of the day, you look at your books. Oh, it feels like maybe it's a nice zero, or maybe it's in the red. And you're like, oh, or at least I see that, and I'm like, oh, I'm not making any progress towards my goals. Right? Of course, treasure in heaven notwithstanding, it can be quite demoralizing. So, every month, you know, undergo this sort of tiding sin, as it were. So, I decided this year, I'll try something. I will try to circumvent all those unholy thoughts and feelings by giving it all at once. Oh, yes, my genius. Sometimes I made the decision, I stepped back, I was like, oh man, Andrew, you're so smart. I tell you, that was not the case. So this year I log into my PayNow, and I log into my account. I press the account number 006014945. And then, yes, I remember a number. It was quite traumatic. Then I press the transfer number. Oh, praise the Lord. Take it all. You know, I saw my numbers drop. And I was like, okay. So, what do you think? Did I fulfill the word of God? Did I obey the word of God to give generously in works? A bit, right? I send my tithes and my offering to God. Did I obey in spirit? Very difficult to say. Actually, not difficult to say if you're okay with no. No, I didn't. I did not give generously to God. I gave, but yeah. So, in this case, I'm just talking about giving generously. What about the other, some would say, slightly more important, 10 commandments, right? To enter God's rest, we must fulfill everything in both faith and works. You cannot just do the form and not imbibe the Spirit. To do so is not to obey the Word of God fully. To enter into God's rest is not unconditional. The gate into that rest is secured, as it were, by two double doors of obedience. Boom. One is faith and the other is works. If you want to enter in, you have to open this door, obviously, and you have to try your hardest to fulfill both, to even open it a sliver. Well, if you thought that was challenging or too demanding, I tell you, it gets worse. Right? Brothers and sisters, we have further to fall, so let's fall together. Not only does the author of Hebrews point out that the gate to God's rest is barred by these double doors. Even after this, even let's say you get through, right? You will be confronted by the guard, the judge, who is God's word. He will stand there, say, stop. You know, stop, I will shoot. Oh, sorry, it's NS reference. He will say, stop, and he will confront you. And he will stare into your soul simply because God's eyes see the heart of man. And if you have not fulfilled in both work and faith perfectly, he will say, step back now. this rest is not for you. God's rest is not only guarded by a double door of obedience. Behind it, there's a security guard. How do I know this? Hebrews 4 verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In the Greek, it's actually your thoughts and your heart, the thoughts of your heart. If you can't discern that, the Word of God can. So that's His criteria. Verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from His sight. All things are naked and open or exposed to the eyes of Him whom we must give account. Not only then do we have to obey in both faith and works, but we must be judged perfect by the Word of God. So, it's not only in form and in spirit, but also degree. Okay, what do I mean by this? Let me give you an analogy. Let's say you have to hit a bullseye on a target board. So let's use a bow and arrow reference, okay? So you have a bow and you have an arrow, and then you take aim and you... And then the arrow goes and it sticks in the board, right? If you hit the bullseye or wherever you're supposed to hit, then that is obeying in faith and works. Good job so far, right? Unfortunately, what the Word of God then does is He walks to your arrow in the target board, He takes it out, boop, and then He inserts His finger in. If it does not hit His right point, the right point, if it's not deep enough, or maybe it's too deep, He will say, good try. But this rest, this God's victory, God's peace, God's promises, God's blessings, not for you. Try again. He's able to judge us. This word, the Word of God, is able to judge us with such scrutiny because, unfortunately, He can see everything. He sees all your tiny imperfections, that anger you have, fist you shake as you get cut off in traffic. He hears those words that you want to say that you keep back. He knows those thoughts that prove your unfaithfulness. It's all open to Him. It's an open book, and you can't escape it. That is how He's able to judge us. In front of God, unfortunately, we are totally disarmed and exposed. There is no veil separating us from the holy and inspecting gaze of God's Word. So, to enter into God's rest, we only need to fulfill two conditions. One, you must obey the Word of God, the law of God, in faith and works. That is, you must push open those double doors. Three, you must step forth, and then when the security guard stare at you, you must be judged righteous. Easy, right? Who here is ready to raise their hands and say, yes, I can? Anyone? By the way, if you're thinking right, that you are ready to do so, when you raise your hand, you must do one more thing. You must sell all you have, give it to the poor, and follow Jesus. Full-time ministry is waiting for you. We want to invest in our leadership. We want to invest in you. Anybody? It is a fearful and terrible thing to stand in front of a holy God, naked and without a place to hide. No cleft in the rock to hide us from the passing face of God. Are you resolved to diligently enter God's rest this year? The possible answers are yes, no, maybe. Aiya, until after Chinese New Year lah. By the way, three of those answers are actually the same. What answer will you choose? Will that be your final answer? Would you like to call a friend? To tell you the truth, it's not only us who are yearning to enter this rest. It's really not just us. The Word of God also yearns for us. Since the beginning of time, since God first spoke, the Word of God yearns for all the peoples of the world to come through those doors, be judged righteous, and to enter into perfect peace with God. It has so longed for someone, somebody, anyone to come through. God Himself, since the days of Adam, had been looking forward since that day to find a son, maybe, but certainly a new man to step through those doors, obey in faith and works perfectly, be judged righteous, and to bring all the world into His salvation. I ask you, brothers and sisters, do you know who this man is? Some say that his eyes are balls of fire, and from his mouth proceeds the word of God like lightning across the sky. Others say he sets the captives free, he makes the lame to walk again, and all the blind to see. Still others say he is the son of David, the king of the Jews. And still some others that he is one of the prophets. Do you know who I'm talking about or not? Can anyone tell me his name? Gee, what? What? Can someone say something? Jesus! Yes! The name of this man, he has already come, and his name is Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, he came on this earth, and he swung open those doors of faith and works. He walked past the guard, and as the word of God beheld his king, the word of God bent his knee and worshipped him. He, Jesus Christ, is our captain of salvation, and we, his people, follow behind him. We are his army, as it were, of prostitutes, cheats, traitors, murderers, all of us entering into the kingdom of God, entering into the blessed rest of God by hanging, not hanging, but hanging, clinging, grasping onto the very hem of his robe. And as he brings us across that threshold, he justifies us, he sanctifies us, and he makes us worthy of glory. Church, this is our confession of faith. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can enter into God's rest because Christ has first entered and now brings us into that rest. So, if you would cling on to Christ today, I would like you to read with me verse 14 and 15 of Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14 and 15 of Hebrews chapter 4. If you can have that on the screen. Okay, are you ready? Let's read verse 14 and 15 together. 1, 2, 3. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but worse in all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ, with his earthly life, obeyed perfectly and swung open those double doors of faith and works. In his death, he took on the judgment of the Word of God. In his resurrection, he was approved righteous. And in his ascension, our Lord now stands at the throne of God's grace. Our Lord, he turns around and he looks upon those coming in after him. He gives us his word of mercy and he sheds upon us his Holy Spirit, that we, like him, may perfectly obey in faith and works. And we will be judged mercifully by our King. This is our gospel. This is the rock on which God will build his kingdom, and the gates of hell will never prevail. Amen? Amen. Okay. Before I get accused of preaching a hyper-grace message, I must clarify two things. First, Christ does not remove our responsibility to obey the word of God. What he does is that through his work and through his example, he has carved a way through those doors into the rest of God. If we would but follow after him, if we would but seek him and ask of him and follow his Holy Spirit, we will, through his way, behind in his footsteps, enter that rest of God. Secondly, Jesus does not abolish the judgment of the word. His work, however, stands him now as our judge. Isn't that good news? He, as the word of God, who also understands all our trouble, our struggles, our temptations, the difficulty we have in following God, he is able to rightly and with all justice judge us with grace and mercy. The way lies open. Christ has opened that way for us. And if we would cling on to him, if we would follow his example, brothers and sisters, it is possible for us to enter into God's rest, enter his peace, enjoy his victory, and celebrate his blessings, even this year. So, we have heard the heavy part of the sermon. We have heard how difficult it is, and those standards have not changed, to enter into the promises of God. This was not meant to discourage you from trying, but to emphasize how much we need Jesus Christ. On our own, with man, entering God's rest is simply impossible. God is too holy. With God, with our Lord Jesus Christ, it is the only possibility. So how can we enter into the way, the truth, and the life? How can we enter into the rest, into the rest of God the Father? As I mentioned earlier, we enter into this rest by holding on to Jesus Christ. How can we hold fast to him? Hebrews 4, verse 16 gives us the answer. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's one step, but there are three processes inside. Okay, step one is seek. Seek the help of the Lord. Seek Christ's help. If you seek Christ's help, you will be able to enter the rest of the Lord. Step two, ask boldly. Be honest with God. Step three, follow his guidance. So, let's just go straight into it. Step one to enter God's rest, seek Christ's help. It's not like if you don't seek Jesus, He won't help you. Okay? While we were still sinners, while we were still at enmity with God, God demonstrated His love for us in that He sent His only Son to die for our sins. God does not necessarily need you to seek Him to save you. Okay? And secondly, Christ is not like some of, you know, your petty friends or some of your hard-to-deal-with colleagues that you have to go and then say, oh, please, help me, help me, help me. And then, you know, you have to pour them all. Then they will say, okay lah, I leave this little finger to help you. Right? Christ is not like that. But He does need us to seek Him. Why? Because, as I'm sure most of us can attest, if you don't seek God, you are unlikely to like what He has to say. I mean, look what we did to Him when He last came uninvited. Right? Bam, bam, bam. We killed Him. So, if you want to enter into God's rest this year, seek Christ's help. Pray to Him and wait for Him. In the asking, you will receive. In the seeking, you will find. And in the knocking, Christ our Lord Himself will open those doors to you. Do you have a difficult decision or challenge to make this year? Are you considering a career move? Do you want to move church after this demoralizing sermon? Seek the help of Christ. He will help you make a decision that obeys His word and is righteous in His eyes. Step 2. Ask boldly and honestly. Sometimes, I tell you, we ask of God not to find a solution to our problems, but we are asking for resources to carry on our bad habits. Okay? What do I mean by this? When I was very much younger, right, I would always ask God, Lord, take away all my excess fats so that when I become slim and attractive, I can show how well your slimming program is and I can testify of your grace and your glory to all the fat people. So that when they come in, they'll yearn to accept your word, you know, bring glory to God. Amen, 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 right? Believe or not? Yeah, that was rubbish. What I wanted was the attention of all the girls that I had crushes on. Right, I told this to my wife, she was none too happy. I may have been fairly bold in asking, right? But I clearly wasn't honest with God. So, as you can see, didn't work out for me. But, why be honest with God? The truth is, when we are honest with God, often God takes the same occasion, that occasion, to be honest with us. He will at that time, perhaps, tell us what is our real problem and give us the grace to solve it. Do you have personal and difficult problems that are just simply hard to talk about to anyone? Are you feeling that maybe you aren't good enough or that your struggles are just starting to overwhelm you? Are you on the verge of depression? Brothers and sisters, I encourage you, if that's you, ask God honestly and boldly. He can help you, and He can help you find the true answers to your problems. Final step, last step, step 3. We must follow His guidance. I know it may seem like kind of obvious, right? I mean, God give you guidance. God say you should do, right? But sometimes I tell you, the most straightforward thing is the hardest thing to do. Okay? When I was less young than I was, I fell in love for the first time with a girl. And she was not my wife. It was not a good relationship in every aspect, okay? Yes, there was a time when this saint was a sinner. Lord have mercy. Suffice to say, our relationship was problematic. Every time things came to a breaking point, and those breaking points would come annually, I would always ask God, Lord, I'm at my wit's end, you know. I'm at the very end of my rope. What should I do? I would seek His help and ask boldly and honestly. But He would always give the same instruction. Break up with her. Straightforward, right? Step one, tick. Just do it. Step two, tick. Yeah, victory. Step three, fail. I failed for 7 years. And when finally things ended, I was left totally spent and exhausted. Has God given you guidance already to those difficult problems that you have this year? Or that you have in your life? Does making that decision seem impossible? Let me tell you, if you do follow God's guidance, you will certainly not regret it. Because as you follow His guidance, as you seek, ask and follow it, follow His guidance, you will find yourself entering into the rest of God, into true peace with God and man, into victory in your life, and into the blessings of God Almighty. So, can anyone tell me how we can enter into God's rest, promises, and victory? Why, step one, seek Christ's help. Yes, that's right. Step two, ask boldly and honestly. And finally, step three, follow His guidance. Yes, if you need help remembering, it is S-A-F. Seek, ask, follow. God's help can indeed come in the form of instruction, strength, grace to obey, and even, as we heard earlier in the service, direct divine intervention. Let us, therefore, always walk in the way of Christ our Lord, for only then can we truly enter into the rest of God, even this year. Are you resolved, above all, above everything that you've set in place this year, to enter the rest of God? If so, you know now, it's not easy. And it will not be easy. In fact, without Jesus Christ, our captain of salvation, it would be impossible for us. However, let me remind you that I am not talking to a people without. I am not talking to a people who do not have Jesus Christ in their heart. I'm not talking about the people to whom Christ is foreign. I'm talking to a people to whom Christ has promised to never leave nor forsake. I am talking to the people of God, to whom God has given His name as Emmanuel, God with us. In fact, God for us. We are people to whom the gate of God, of God's rest, to whom the path has been carved, to whom all barriers have been taken away. We are people to whom the rest of God lies open. Aim to attain it. If you are resolved to walk in the promises of God, I urge you then, do not forget God. seek His help in your life decisions. God can help you make decisions that are Christ-like and obedient to the Word of God. In fact, God is always and continually waiting for you to seek Him, and He will never reject a broken and contrite heart. If you are resolved to walk victoriously with God, then ask of Him. Ask boldly and honestly. It may be difficult to admit that you need help even to figure out your problem, but I encourage you, be honest with Him. If you don't know what's wrong, say, "I really don't know. I need your help, Lord." Christ understands you. He sees into your soul. He knows what is your problem. He also knows that those problems are very real and the struggles are difficult. Christ is kind and He is lowly of heart. He will treat all of your petitions with grace, all of your honesty with mercy. Finally, are you resolved to walk into the rest of God this year? Then follow His guidance. It may be difficult, true. It may be painful, most times, yeah. It may even require of you to let go something that is dear to you. But here I say, and here I stand saying, trust in the Lord. Christ knows what is best for you and always wills to do you good. Follow Him in all of His ways, and He, and through Him, with Him, you will enter into the rest of God, into His victory, and attain those blessings and promises you so seek. So, what is the acronym for this? SAF. What is that? Seek, ask, follow. That is the key to be ready this year and to be strong in the Lord. May we then, the sheep of His pasture, always endeavor to enter into that blessed rest. Let us be attentive and obedient to the voice of our great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You sent our Lord, Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we may enter Your rest. Give us the humility to know that without You, we cannot attain it. Grant us the courage to seek Your help, the willingness to ask boldly and honestly, and the faith, Lord, to follow Your loving guidance for us. May You, our Christ, ever lead us into Your rest, and may we follow You all our days. This, Lord, we pray in Your most holy and beautiful name. Amen. Let us now rise to sing the response song, "God, You Are My God." Father in heaven, may you always appear so close to us, so nearly and dearly to us. And Lord, may we always have that courage to seek your help. May we always be bold and honest to ask of you. And Lord, give us the faith to follow you all of our days. So Lord, as we leave this place and enter back into your world, may you send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit to live and work for your praise and glory. Amen. Thank you, everybody. The service is now over. Please enjoy the hospitality outside and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.